Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this daylight savings time morning. So good to see so many bright eyes, and I also encourage you folks that if we do have people who wander in on the last hymn, let's try not to stare too much. It happens to all of us. But we are glad that you are here, and we have a few announcements this morning. First is we would love for you to join us after the fellowship time for second hour adult education. We will be talking more about justice at the gates and encourage you to join us. And the other announcement I have is going to be a bit out of character, okay? If you have a cell phone, you may get it out now. It's okay. And if you want to turn it back on, you can. It's okay. It's all for a good cause. There in your bulletin, in the announcements, you will see an opportunity if you would like to help support those who have been affected by the recent tornadoes in the Midwest and the Southeast. You can actually text. A donation to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. If you text PDA to the number 20222, that will send $10 to help support disaster response where it is needed most. So you are more than welcome to make that donation now or at any time. All right, we have a few other announcements this morning. First, Dave Fish.
So how do you think that Lenten wall of food's coming out there? I think we could do a little bit better job. I saw that there was a rally this morning as I was greeting, but let's get that thing packed. I appreciate your donations.
Thank
you. As many of you know, Carol Ann will be leaving on a sabbatical leave today for 12 weeks. It'll take her as far away as Bangladesh to visit her daughter Robin. After worship, we have some cake in the fellowship hall, and you're all invited to come share and wish her well.
Amen.
Good morning. You know me on Sunday mornings as Sally Christensen, mild-mannered alto in the choir. Well, under this choir robe, somebody else lives. Her name is Molly a Mobster. You can join me and all my associates next Saturday on the 17th of March right here in the GPC Fellowship Hall for the first ever opening of S.P. Kesey's Grill, a vintage 1928 grill with maybe some other activities going on in the back room. Just $10 per person will get you into our 1928 Chicago-era Prohibition Grill. All the snacks and desserts and legal beverages, of course, that are available that evening to you. You never know what's going to happen. There could be murder. There could be mayhem. There definitely will be lots of fun. Excuse me, I'm getting a little cut off here. So remember, Saturday, 6:30, Fellowship Hall, murder, mayhem, fun, $10 per person. Tickets on sale today or at the door, and all proceeds go to Guatemala Partners. Thank yous.
Just never quite sure what you're going to get when you show up to worship on a Sunday morning. And now, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire... Oh, whoa, you're not gone yet, are you? Come on! I can't be invisible yet.
I just wanted to tell the senior highs that if you're looking in the bulletin and you see that you're going bowling next Sunday night, that's a mistake. But come, we will have, or you will have a senior high youth group next week, and it'll be more fun than bowling. Thanks.
And now, let us worship God. Please stand as you are able and join together in the responsive call to worship. We are called in the midst of a world where people hunger and thirst to worship a God who feeds the hungry. We are called in the midst of a world where people are abused and oppressed to worship a God who calls for compassion and justice. We are called in the midst of a world filled with wars and rumor of war to worship a God who desires nothing less than peace. We are called in the midst of a world of spiritual emptiness to worship a God who gives life meaning. Come, worship a God who calls us to the gates, where we will do justice, serve one another, and walk humbly with our Lord.
Please join me in the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. God of justice, we started this Lenten journey at your gates with good intentions to draw closer to you, but confess we are unchanged. You sent your prophets to the gates to declare the ways in which you see unjust acts and unrighteous hearts. We still view so many people as unequal to us, unworthy of relationship, and invisible. God, your gates of justice reveal all. May our hearts be opened, our lives changed, and our wills strengthened. We want to be in right relationship and see all those we've made invisible. Now let us silently confess our personal sins to God.
Would you all like to come and sit down with me now? And if all the children in the congregation would come forward. Hi. We're going to sit in a different direction today. Is that okay? Good. We
always do stuff different, don't we?
That was beautiful. Thank you for singing God's praises this morning. Good morning. Good morning. So, did you guys hear the announcement this morning? Our friend Carol Ann, she on Monday is going to start a 3 months. It's a long time, isn't it? 3 month journey of rest and renewal and adventure. And it's called a sabbatical. So, we aren't going to see her in church on Sunday mornings for the next 3 months. But I thought it would be really fun to send her on her adventure with a few things. Can you guys help me with that this morning? Yeah, you knew that. First, we're going to send Carol Ann on her adventure with, what is this? Can you guys see? Bread. Our friend Todd made this. This is a loaf of bread because you can't ever go on an adventure without something in your tummy. And bread is very special in the life of the church. When we celebrate communion, what do we use? Bread. So, we're going to share this with Carol Ann. This is some bread for her journey. And we're going to send her with something else, too. Okay? We are going to send her on her adventure with prayer. Can you guys stand up? We're going to do kind of a interactive prayer here. All right, I'm going to have Carol Ann stand up too. I'm going to put Carol Ann right in the middle of you guys. All right? I know. And can everyone show me a hand? And now can everyone take that hand and place it on Carol Ann? And if you can't quite get right to her to touch her, you can touch the person in front of you. We are going to lay hands on Carol Ann so she can feel God's love and strength as she travels on this journey. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for Carol Ann and for her faithful service to you here at GPC. Be with her as she takes this time for rest and renewal in you. As she journeys to many exciting places, keep her mindful that she never walks alone, that you are with her and you walk beside her. May this bread for her journey provide the physical and spiritual nourishment and strength needed to return to this community of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Bye, Alex.
All right. And you guys will have a chance to say goodbye to her after church, too, because the third thing we'll send her on her journey with is something we all love, cake. So after Sunday school in the fellowship hall, and you can give her lots of hugs and say goodbye then, too, okay? All right. We'll see you at Sunday school. Have fun.
The first reading this morning is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen. Our second reading for this morning comes from the prophet Amos. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, do not enter into Gilgal, or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground, the one who made the Pleiades and Orion and turned deep darkness into morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash out against the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth.
Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, you who take a bribe, you who push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, so that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. A bit of fire and brimstone for us this morning. The prophet Amos. He's actually the new guy on the block. He's one of the earliest prophets of the Bible. And you see, being a prophet isn't a professional job yet, like it was for the more well-known prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah. Amos was a shepherd, sent out on a journey by God to prophesy to God's people, Israel, at a time when the people really didn't want to hear what he had to say. I suppose there's never really a good time to hear such harsh words. But they're even more of a downer when a nation feels like they are at the top of their game. At least some of them did. See, when King Jeroboam II was king, the northern kingdom of Israel experienced quite a boom. Archaeologists who have uncovered communities that were before, that predated Jeroboam, found that most of the homes were actually the same size. And it indicated a lack of economic prosperity, but faithfulness to the biblical covenant to distribute wealth fairly. The ruins in Jeroboam's time, what archaeologists found were remnants of large palaces. And in other parts of the city, small shacks. You see, along with prosperity to Israel at this time came a shift where neither the power nor the economic resources of the nation were distributed equitably among the population. And what Amos bore witness to in his time was that wealth was flowing from the working peasant class to support the luxurious lifestyle of the rich. Just a few powerful political elites. The dramatic shift of some having more and many having less extends beyond the town walls to the surrounding countryside. Absentee property owners now owned plots of land that were handed down through generation to generation. Farmers no longer were working on their own farms. More people were losing their jobs and squeezed into the permanent underclass of expendables who found themselves in debt slavery and who had no claim on their lives. Diving deeper
into the social context of the time and making sense of it in today's society. I get the feeling that the prophet Amos would have been one of the first to show up at Zuccotti Park last September. And he'd be one of the ones fighting Mayor Richards to keep the Occupy protest encampment at Washington Square Park in downtown Rochester. Now, one of the biggest criticisms that folks have of the Occupy movements all across the country is that there sure is a lot of rhetoric of complaining about what is wrong, but not a whole lot of action from that group to do anything to change it. This remains true for Amos as well. Biblical commentators are quick to point out how the book of Amos doesn't ever speak of reform, of really doing anything to change the circumstances, but exclusively unleashes criticism of the way things are and just how God sees them. Amos is the first of the prophets from whom many follow to then launch the prophetic transformation on the foundations of Amos's willingness to speak such truth, and the truth of the dramatic gap between the rich and the poor is made evident in one very prominent place: the city gate. We imagine the gate much like the one we have in worship here. A wall or a fence with a single gate that latches and unlatches. But the elaborate gates of biblical times often included four chambers, which were more like large rooms where the town square life of the community was conducted. People from every walk of life literally passed through the gates. Often one or more of these chambers were used as courtrooms. The town elders gathered, and they heard the complaints, and they rendered judgments. According to Torah law, these gates of justice were intended to be a decentralized legal system where everyone could be ensured full participation in community life. And this is the backdrop for the problems that Amos points out in the verses we heard this morning. I'm going to read just a few of those verses again, and this time from the Common English version of the Bible. From verse 7, "Doom to you who turn justice into poison and throw righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who judges at the city gate, and they reject the one who speaks truth." And he continues, "I know how many are your crimes and how numerous are your sins, afflicting the righteous, taking money on the side, turning away the poor who seek help. Establish justice at the city gate." Here, at the gate, it was so obvious to Amos that the standards of life by which God has instructed God's people to live was not happening. Amos uses very serious language to describe the ways that those who have nothing are being pushed away, ignored, and overlooked. And I'm sure that the changes to society that permitted such things to happen didn't happen all at once. There was a little bit here,
a little bit there. One person denied justice, and no one spoke up about it. Another offered money or land to gain a seat among the town leaders, and people just turned away. They didn't want to raise the issue. A parent borrows money to buy shoes for their child, only to watch their child be sold into slavery because they couldn't pay the money back fast enough. A lender gives money to a poor farmer to buy seed and then demands the money be repaid before the crop is harvested. Slowly, over time, the ways that people were treated and ignored reinforced the separation of those with privilege, power, and wealth from everyone else. It was so gradual and consequently so entangled. Most people accepted this as, using a term I hear frequently, just is what it is. And for the most part, it's so unfixable, we don't even really pay attention to it anymore. But it's Amos. Amos, who stands at the gate of justice, looks around at what is happening and gives voice to the rage of God. And to use another popular phrase, Amos goes off. Here at the gate, it was so obvious to Amos that the poor who came to the gates seeking justice or the realization of the standards of life by which God has instructed us how to live were invisible. God has instructed us to live in relationship with one another and with God. And we can't do that if we have made people invisible by no longer viewing people as worthy of relationships. We cannot choose to live as God's people who close our eyes and turn away from one another because what we see makes us uncomfortable. Or it raises feelings of guilt because of what we do have. Or because the situation seems so far gone or complicated, there's really nothing that I can do about it. But we can. We can all choose to seek God, to live a life of justice that opens our eyes and our hearts and our hands to the life by which God has instructed us to live. One wealthy woman from this country found this to be true when she set out to support the work of Mother Teresa. In a documentary about Mother Teresa's life, when the wealthy woman found Mother Teresa, she promptly whipped out her checkbook and says, "I want to write you a check to support your work." Mother Teresa shakes her head and says, "No money." "What?" "No money." "You won't take my money? I have a lot of money. This money can help you." "No money." "No money? Then what can I do?" Mother Teresa smiled that unique smile of hers, took the woman by the hand and said, "Come, see." She led this woman deep into the barrios of Calcutta, searching, until finally she came upon a small, grimy child, and Mother Teresa said, "Take care of her."
And so the woman took a cloth and bathed the little girl, took a spoon and fed her. And she reported later that her life was changed. Come, see, care for one another, be in relationship, live as God has instructed us to live. When Mother Teresa came back to the United States, she made a great speech in New York in which she said, "You don't have to go to Calcutta to share in my work. Calcutta is wherever you are. Wherever you are, there are people who hurt, who need love. Find them. Love them. For in loving them, you love Jesus." The gates of justice are wherever we go. And there stands Amos, occupying the gate of justice and declares what God sees. Will Israel listen? Will we?
I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concerns.
Linda Allen, my friend who had the double mastectomy has to go back for more surgery Monday. They found something in the lymph nodes, so she needs our prayers.
Cheryl Fennell, we have wonderful joy. Our son Corey proposed to Katie, and they're both doctors. He's a neurologist, and she's going to be a neurosurgeon. So But I have to share a quick little story because it's wonderful. Apparently, he proposed to her when they were jogging in Boston on Longfellow Bridge, and apparently he whipped out a poem by Longfellow, and I asked Katie, I said, weren't you a bit surprised? And she said, well, we'd been talking about Longfellow a lot for the past month or whatever, but it was encased in plastic in case it rained or whatever, and that just, you know. So anyways, he's a romantic at heart.
All right, and do we have one? Oh, over here.
Good morning. I'd just like to ask prayers for a friend of ours who starts chemotherapy this week.
I've got one back here.
Tam Andalowski, I just would like to share that today is Girl Scout Sunday, and this wonderful organization is now 100 years old. I know that there are many former scouts in our midst. I know there are current girls who are scouts in our midst, and I know there are leaders in our midst. So congratulations to this wonderful organization, and here's hope that it lasts for another 100 years.
Prayers of thanksgiving, indeed. All right, and prayers from our children this morning in church school, from the first and second graders. We are thankful for hand-me-down clothes from older siblings. And a prayer of joy for Jacob Frisch that made it to the All-Star basketball team. And a great prayer of joy for the start of spring sports. Prayer of concern for a dad who has a bad cut. And a prayer of joy for a haircut that was donated to Lots of Love. Prayers for people with cancer. Prayer that hope that my mom has a safe flight back from Denver. Prayers of good luck for a cousin's hockey game. Prayers of safe travel as Maya and her family travel to India this month. Prayers of concern that there have been a lot of sick kids, and we're hoping for some wellness. Amen to that. Prayers of safe travel for a brother visiting from out of state. And prayer of celebration that one of our children has had her new gerbils for 1 month now. Amen.
Let us pray. God, who calls us and challenges us to be people of justice, we sadly confess how difficult this is for us. For the gates of justice are sometimes inconvenient and often frightening. We find ourselves tumbling into entitlement, wanting what is easy and comfortable and safe, more concerned with our own plans than your children dying from starvation, disease, and violence. Remind us, O God, that you are the God of justice. Strengthen us. Fill us with courage so that we might be advocates. Help us to reach out to the Calcuttas of our world. O God, we ask, hear our prayers. This morning we come praying for our brothers and sisters in Syria. Our heart breaks when we hear reports of the pain and suffering of these people. We ask you to embrace the men and the women, the children and the youth, whose lives have been turned upside down as they fight for liberty. Fill world leaders with wisdom in their response. O God, we ask that you hear our prayers. And we pray for the people of our own country who are trying to put their lives back together after devastating tornadoes. O God, we want to be your hands on earth, helping those who are both far and near. Open the gates of justice and empower us to walk through them. O God, we ask that you hear our prayers. And we pray for those within our own church family. We pray for the Weber family as Brian returns home. May this time of family reunion be one of joy. Be with them as they discover new routines. Show us ways in which we can be helpful. And we pray for Jack and Marge Westfall. And we ask that you wrap your loving arms around them both. And we pray for others who need your care. O God, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers as we come together praying the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our guests forward.
Lord, your bounty overwhelms us. Even the poorest among us have so much more than many of your children. Keep us mindful of those less fortunate than ourselves, and use the gifts we return to spread your word and your work among them, and to open the gates to joy for them. Amen.
Thank you.
we go from this place, may our eyes, our hearts, our hands be open at all the gates of justice that God puts in front of us. And so we go, with the love of God to surround us, the grace of Jesus Christ enfolding us, and the courage of the Holy Spirit as we go on our way. Amen.
I have some clothes. I told Anna I was going to.